everybody. It's Sam with Rowdy Alternative. And today we're with Texas artist Karina Grove. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, good. Been staying busy out there, playing shows, anything?
Staying busy, doing shows, just, you know, trying to make the grind happen, you know?
Yep, I get it. So let's hop right into it, Karina. First off, I was doing some research on you, and were you born in Italy?
I was born in Italy. Yep. My parents were missionaries, and they traveled the world. And I was born in Italy, and we moved to the States shortly after, around 2 years after I was born. So I didn't really get to, like, you know, vibe out in Italy for the time I was there. But yeah, no, I was born in Italy.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, I was wondering if you were, like, if you spent some, like, your childhood out there or something. I wasn't real sure.
No, well, really, like, when we were in Italy, and then we moved from Italy to Switzerland to Germany, and then we came to the States. And then it was literally, like, I swear, like, every state along the Midwest, we moved around a lot when I was a kid. So.
Oh, wow. So how'd you end up in, you're in Fort Worth or Dallas? Or?
I'm in Dallas proper. Yep. I got the Dallas, Texas on the mail that comes in. So yeah. I ended up here, man, I guess you got time. This is a long story, but yeah, no, my parents moved to Texas. We were back and forth between Texas and Tennessee for a long time. And my parents finally resided in Texas, in Salina, actually, in 2001. And around 2006, 2007, I moved up to Minneapolis with one of my sisters. And I was at the time, she had started a real estate company. And I, you know, was helping her out with her kids. And you know, one day she was like, you know, what's your dream job? What do you want to do? You know, I was like, oh, of course I want to do music, but it doesn't pay the bills. And, you know, I don't want to be a broke musician, but, you know, it's just your the love for it. And I woke up the next day and there was a plane ticket on my bed saying, like, hey, go chase your dreams. And I had a few connections in Dallas of people that worked in the studio. And I was like, you know what? So in 2012, I made the move, and I moved to Dallas and got a job in the service industry and started working in the music business too. So.
Okay. Yeah. So you've been there a while then.
Yeah. I've been home for sure.
Yeah, for sure. So when did you, like, take that step to, like, pursue, music, like, as, like, your main gig? Like, was that a hard step to take?
Yeah. Oh God. Yeah, for sure. Cause I just had no idea what I was doing, you know, but when I moved here, I was actually working in, like, the hip hop electronic scene for a long time. Yeah. And I was also working in the service industry because, you know, you got to pay your bills and, you know, the service industry, I worked there for a long time and nothing was really spiking me the right way. And I was just, you know, I don't know, I guess I moved in, I kind of was just starting to move a little bit further into the service industry and studying wine. And I was actually going to move to France in 2018 and just pursue the whole wine thing. Cause music just, I wasn't really finding my footings, you know. Also I wasn't really putting 100% of it into my music. You know, I was putting a lot into my job and my work and, you know, going out every night and, you know, being an idiot and being a fucking, you know, you know, teenager, 20-year-old. And I was talking again, you know, a friend of mine that I lived with. She was like, you know, you should really think about pursuing your music. And she kind of gave me try it for a month. And if you feel like you can't pay your bills with the gigs around Dallas or, you know, I got you pretty much. And that was really sweet to, like, have. And so, I don't know, for me, it was kind of like, oh my God, just fucking do it. You know? And, I don't know if I could say the F word on your podcast.
You can say whatever you want.
But yeah, and then in 2018, I quit my job in the service industry and I started pursuing music full time. So, and that was the jump. And that was just slowly, you know, meeting people, connecting with people, you know, getting to the groove, especially here in the Dallas music scene, you know.
So. Yeah, I feel like just talking to like a lot of you artists, like in any genre, in any like really any aspect of the music industry, if you really want to make that your main, gig career, you have to kind of dive in head first, like all or nothing, right? Like that's what it comes off to me as.
Yeah. No, you really do. And it's so funny. My dad told me some really good advice once. He's just like, you know, there is no plan B. He's like, mm-hmm. He's like, you got to give what you love your all. And, yep. And that really kind of stuck with me. And I was like, you know what? Again, fuck it. You know, I'm just, gonna, you know, and now, you know, we're here, you know, 4 singles later, you know, live EP. And, it's been a really fun journey. I'm super excited to see what's next and, you know, just keep on grinding, keep on doing it, keep on meeting people. So.
Yeah, absolutely. And, being in that, I mean, Dallas, if you look at Texas music, I mean, I'd imagine Dallas is probably like the epicenter of like the creativity. Like that's where I feel like that's like the epicenter of the music scene in Texas. Is that accurate?
You know, I feel it is. But I'm gonna be honest with you. I haven't really dived deep into like the Houston scene or the Austin scene. I knew Austin for a long time was like that, you know, that's where people went to like, you know, see their music career grow. But I'm seeing a lot of local artists here in Dallas and also a lot of artists that, you know, have really taken it to the next level in their career. I feel like have come from Dallas, you know, I mean, and, just the music scene, the studios here, you know, what people are working on. Also, there's just a lot, especially for gigging musicians, there's a lot of work here, I feel, you know, but yeah, I mean, I would honestly say, yeah, I would say yes to your question. I feel like it is right now.
Yeah. And like, it's funny because I was a while back, I don't know when, I was actually talking to Mitchell about his work, like in Dallas. Like he like he was telling me about like his scheduling and like what he has coming up. And like Dallas, it sounds like, not saying that you can't expand, but like for like, it, like if a musician wanted to make kind of like how it is in like if you look at Nashville, like people play Broadway like their whole career and they, you know, then they make a good living out of it. But like, you know, like is that like a thought? Do you think like maybe if I just stick around like regionally, or do you have that wide, I'm sure I probably already know the answer, but do you have that wide aspect? Like I want to go everywhere. But like, then like, that's a whole nother set of challenges. Like, have you ever thought about that?
Yeah, I 100%, my goal is to go everywhere and to meet people everywhere and to, you know, to be back and forth between Dallas, Austin, LA, Nashville, New York, you know, just all the big music hubs. Like, I would love to. Yeah, I would love to do that. And I think for Dallas, for as like a working musician and, you know, gigging all the time and having, you know, the cushioness to just be like, oh, hey, like I can still come home and, you know, play a gig if I need to make some extra cash on the side. And, you know, I think that's amazing because I don't think you can find that as much as you can find it in Dallas. I don't think you can find that in LA. I don't think you can find that in Austin or in Nashville or in New York. I mean, a gig, like to be able to gig like we do is a blessing, you know, it's, but, cause you know, as a supporting artist, it's really hard to make it, you know, just because you go broke big time.
Right.
But, but with the internet nowadays, it's, if you can kill it on social media and keep posting and keep putting yourself out there, I mean, you probably see it all the time, you know, people just fucking blowing up and then so many people are like, oh my God, this person came out of nowhere. And then you look back at their tracks and you're like, you've been posting consistently or reaching out on social media or playing the social media game consistently for, you know, a year, two or three, you know? So, Right. Yeah, I would love to see, you know, I would love to see growth in that, in my career though, for sure though.
Yeah. And like you, like starting out like in Dallas, like I've been, like I live in Cincinnati, like nowhere close to Texas. So like whenever I do make trips, like to like different places, like whether it's Oklahoma or Tennessee or like Texas, like yeah. I haven't seen like a community or a camaraderie in like a certain scene, anything like Dallas is. Like Dallas, like I feel like it's all the artists, like, you know, like so-and-so is opening up for so-and-so, and like they're close, they work together, they like the community there just seems like insanely close, and they and like friendly.
It is. All that. I feel like, yeah, it is. And I feel like it's because like everybody just wants to like, everyone just wants to see everybody grow, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's like, which is really nice, because at the end of the day, like, I think in the beginning, like you think, oh my God, there's so much competition. But at the end of the day, it's just like, there's so much music out there, and there's so much, like people have the option to listen to so much music. And I feel like it's not really a competition, but more, it's just like, just get it out there, you know?
Yeah.
And let's have fun doing it, you know? Mm-hmm. But yeah, man, it's, yeah.
Yeah. And going off that about like the different kinds of music and stuff, when I first heard you, it was, you know how like Texas is, Texas and Oklahoma, that whole area, really, like it's, you know, people think about it as, oh, it's country music, right?
Yeah.
Well, like I would say within like in the last, like, fuck, maybe like 4 years now, it's like, I feel like it's anything but, like in the best way possible. Like it's, yeah, it's growing, it's changing. So like, and you're like, you don't, like when I first heard you, I'm like, this is something different. And like, what would you, if you had to put yourself in a genre, like I know genre don't really matter nowadays, which is great. Like, what would you like describe your music, like your style, your sound as?
Probably either indie rock or indie pop.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it's very like, yeah, I'd have to, yeah. I mean, I think out of all the categories, you know, that I've gone through, and, you know, I definitely think I'm more on the indie side for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Is it like, was it hard to get into that, like the Texas scene when you first started, like with your sound being so different?
Well, you know, when I first started in the Texas scene, I definitely was leaning a little bit more towards that countryside, just because that's what it is, you know, here. Mm-hmm. It's that Americana country feel, you know, and I mean, it's fucking great. I, you know, mm-hmm. and I, you know, I love it.
Yeah.
I think there's always been like a heart, like there's always been that part of me that like my heart just want that, it wanted to have that indie, you mm-hmm. know, come out. But what's been nice is that once I finally, you know, put out what I wanted to put out that I feel like represented who I was as an artist, people loved it, and they mm-hmm. gravitated towards it. And it was scary, you know, 'cause here I am, yeah, like, you know, playing the rustic and I'm singing, you know, Patty Griffin, and people are like, oh, what's your music? And then it's just like, oh, here's my, you know, and
yeah,
you know, especially with Happier Now, you know, I feel like that was a really strong with the synths and like, mm-hmm. you know, it's a little bit more on the dancier side.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, it's been nice to see people, you know, especially at gigs, request those songs and tell me how much they enjoy listening to them. And which is just like another sign of just like, fuck it, do what you love, you know?
Yeah. And looking at like all these like artists, like their track record, and like what happens is like when they do like in that Texas or Oklahoma scene, it's like a lot of them, like you, like they start out playing the, okay, like I'm in this area of the country where this music's what's popping, and it always has been popping. I'm going to sing, mm-hmm. I'm going to fit into that mold. But once they do say like, screw it, like I want to play what I feel and what makes me, I feel like that's when they take off. Like you look at guys like I always use Austin Mead as an example. Like when he like started doing like the
Howdy Fuckers back there.
Oh yeah, I'm a massive fan. Oh yeah, definitely.
Love him so much.
Yeah, he's great. Like when he started, I guess it started with like Happier Alone, and then he went into like his rock stuff.
Yeah,
so that's when he started like playing like festivals and these sweet tours with like Seven Dust, and like that's what he wanted to play. And wow. I feel like that just makes an artist happier. So it's, I think that's like a, like you pretty much hit the nail on the head. Like once you start playing what you want to play, I feel like that automatically, like by default, like propels you to the next level.
Yeah. And man, like we're playing Wildflower Festival this year in May, and I was really stoked to play it. You know, again, like I'm a little bit on the smaller scale right now, and we got the lineup the other day and I was like, you know, to be like, it's me, Saint Motel, and Group Love, which mm-hmm. Saint Motel and Group Love are just bands that I've loved in the indie world for so long. And to be able to share a stage with them is just like, come on. Like,
yeah,
you know, it's kind of like in that pinch me moment where it's like, okay, I'm on the right track. And, you know, I'm really stoked to take that, you know, mm-hmm. next step in that world, you know, and see where we go, you know?
Yeah, for sure. And speaking of like festivals and stuff or like venues, are there any like venues that like you love to play like around town, or like are there any venues that are on your bucket list specifically that you like really want to play?
I mean, okay, so venues that, you know, you really want to play. I mean, obviously, I would love to play the Red Rocks. I think that's like with every musician, I think that's just
that's like the Holy Grail.
I think the Holy Grail. You know, Hollywood Bowl, gosh, I don't know. I mean, yeah. I was talking to my producer about this the other day and he was like, God, I want to play the Madison Square Garden so bad. I mean, those venues that just have that history to them, like, of course, like, I can't wait to play those. I can't wait. But I think here in town, the Kessler Theater is definitely one of my favorites. Have you ever been mm-hmm. there?
I haven't been to that one yet.
Yeah, Kessler Theater. I love playing there. The Granada, I love playing there. A goal of mine here in town, I would love to play Canton Hall or mm-hmm. Bomb Factory. I think those would be some really cool venues to attach myself to, but yeah.
Yeah. And fingers crossed. that made me think of like, I know like specifically in like, I think it's Dallas, and correct me if I'm wrong, but like, aren't there like, I've been seeing like some like more club size, like bars and like clubs. Like I've been seeing them like closing like recently, which is like really unfortunate. Like I think Lola's in Dallas?
Closed. No, that's in Fort Worth.
Fort Worth.
The like historic Magnolia Motor Lounge.
Yeah.
Thankfully, they didn't close their doors, but they just moved, you know? Mm. But that's also in Fort Worth. I know like in Deep Ellum, like Club Dada, I feel like has its seasons. Like they'll like be popping for a really hot minute and then they'll close down again. And be popping. Like Mitchell just played Club Dada. With Bryce Baines and Ryan Berg. And I mean, it was packed and it was so fun. And, you know, I definitely want to, you know, get on a show there. I haven't played there yet, but, mm-hmm. you know, I don't know. I mean, I feel like Dallas is in its season of like, everything's been like kind of popping and going and
good. People are, yeah.
But yeah, that was sad to hear though, that Lola's closed down for sure.
I know. I loved Lola's. I was there couple times, and like that was such like a unique place, like with the little outdoor area and like really cool aesthetic all around. That was a bummer, but
I played there once, like, oh god, years ago. I can't even remember what year it was, but yeah, it was a good time. And I saw, oh god, I saw one of my favorite are you really familiar with Fort Worth bands?
Yeah, I'm pretty familiar.
Do you know the Burning Hotels?
Yeah.
I saw them play at Lola's and I was just okay. Like, my God. But that's another indie pop band from the DFW area. But
yeah,
you know,
yeah, I think when I went, I want to say it was like an acoustic like swap between Austin and Colton Moore. And that was a really cool, like, intimate show. And, like, I remember it was freezing. It was, like, the day, like, a couple days after Christmas or some shit. Like, it was damn near snowing. Wait, but, like, still.
Me playing out in the cold? Like,
yeah, it was.
Cold? Oh, my God.
It was freezing Woo! Cold. Yeah, it was freezing. Yeah. And it's funny bringing up Mitchell again because he was there just hanging out. And I think he went on stage and sang a song. But, yeah, we were, like. We were all hanging after the show, and I couldn't leave because he just wanted to keep taking shots. But oh, it was a blast. God. It was a blast.
I remember that night, and he was like, "Babe, I think I got to stay in Fort Worth. Do what you need to do."
Yeah, it was a late night.
Oh my God, I think I remember that.
Yeah,
playing out in the cold like that, dude. Oh my God, that's a whole nother. Woo, you're like making my hands cold thinking about it.
Right. Well, let's talk a bit about your writing. Do you have, like, do you do any, like, co-writes? Do you have, like, a team you write with? Is it all just you? What's your method when it comes to that?
So, really, I haven't done, like a serious co-write with, like, any other artist yet, mm-hmm. Which hopefully that comes in the future. But, and obviously, like, I've written with Mitchell, you know.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Hard not to, you know. He's in the other room, you know.
Yeah.
But, man, when we go into the studio, sometimes, like, I'll have an idea here at the house, and I'll take it in and we'll kind of refine it. But right now in the studio, it's me. Michael Smith is producer, engineer. He plays a lot of the instruments as well. And then Nate Wadan. I don't know, Nate Wadan, I mean, he has a fantastic career. He used to play with, like, Somebody's Darling. You remember them?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, he's gotten to play the Red Rocks, which is...
Oh, wow.
Blows my mind. But, yeah, he's an incredible drummer, percussionist, just all things beats. But, yeah, he and I kind of, you know, bounce off each other really well when it comes to the writing and when it comes to just kind of getting in your brain. And, but yeah, I would say that it's more like a three-way kind of write where we all just sit down, you know, digest the song, and then lyrics just come, you know, but a lot of the times, like, I'll be home with an idea and then bring it to the guys and then we'll execute it.
Right.
So
Nice. But yeah, like, let's talk about your EP, the Live at Sunland Sound, right? I don't want to get that wrong.
Yeah, that's right. All right. Recording. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and you kind of just hit on it there, but, like, who were some of the personnel with you who played on that?
So that was just really Michael and I, because we wanted to kind of keep it as stripped as possible. I think, like, you know, just in this day's age, we, you know, I just want to keep giving people stuff and, you know, let people know that I'm in existence constantly.
You know? Yeah. I mean, you got to kind of do that nowadays.
Yeah. We decided to, I hit up Jake Hall with Cinderblock, and, he came in and recorded the videos, but we decided, like, you know, let's, like, have a jam session here in the studio and just put it out as a live EP. And doing a lot of gigs around Dallas, you know, me and my acoustic guitar, me and an electric or whatever, people are always like, "Oh, where can I find this version?" You know? And a lot of times I'll be like, "Oh, you can just record it on your iPhone while I'm singing it now."
Yeah.
but it was really cool to kind of, like, give that to people. And it's nice. People will be like, "Oh man, I really love, I love the stuff you put out, but your live EP, it's so nice to hear it stripped back." So, yeah, but it was just me, Michael and I in the studio, just plugged in, pressed go, and there you have it, you know?
Yeah, and I really enjoyed it. It was it was kind of a cool, like, aesthetic too. It felt really, like, roomy, and, like, it was, like, real warm production, I guess is a way to put it. That was a pretty neat sound. Like, do you have a hand in the production, or you kind of let them run with it?
I mean, I think I definitely have, like, an idea in my head of what I want to see, you know, and then it's executed, you know.
Yeah.
What I love about working with other people is I can say, "Hey, this is what I see." And allowing to see other people's art through what I made and just create this like DNA from it. It's like, it's pretty sweet. But yeah, no, Jake came in and was just like, and sometimes the music speaks for itself. You know, I think it's funny when, mm-hmm. when you talk about it and people are like, oh, this is what I see. And you're like, yes, this is exactly how I feel, you know? So it's definitely, what am I trying to say? It's definitely like a, I don't know.
Communal I know what you mean.
You know what I'm trying to say? It's like we all work together to create it for sure. Yeah. I definitely like to put my hand in everything that's coming from me to the audience. Like I love to have my hand every step of the way.
Yeah, for sure. So were you satisfied with the reception once it came out? Like, were you happy with it?
With the what? The reception?
Like the fans and everything. Like, were you happy with like the reception of it?
Yeah, I was really happy with it. A part of me too, I wanted to put it out to kind of like test the waters of like what, you know, because if you remember, I put it out kind of like, hey, it's out. I never did any promoting. I never did anything. You know, I just wanted to just be like, hey, this is for you. Like, and I wanted to kind of see how the fans responded, like the algorithm responded. Mm-hmm. And, you know, honestly, I was pretty happy with what the numbers were from just putting it out right away and still kind of seeing it climb. But yeah, I mean, it's really interesting. I definitely recommend promoting your music though. Like I think putting mm-hmm. something out, if you have like a pretty large fan base, I think then that's like, I feel like that's when you can do something like that. But I feel like I definitely, it was a good learning, like understanding like, okay, definitely want to start just at least promoting, you know, a couple weeks in advance before I release something at the minimum, you know?
Right. And it is kind of crazy how like unpredictable that is nowadays. Like knowing like what the numbers are going to be, you got an algorithm to work with now. Like, I don't know, how do you learn that?
You don't. That's the thing. Yeah. You just can't learn it. Cause like the algorithm, like I feel like Instagram, TikTok, Snapchat, you know, all the other Facebook, I feel like their algorithm is constantly changing as mm-hmm. well. So it's just like, I think the only thing that you can do is just keep on posting, you know,
mm-hmm.
like so crazy. Like Mitchell and I went for a walk the other day and like, I recorded this funny video of us like winking and it has like 21 million views on Instagram. Like what the fuck, you know? And you're just like, okay, well, you know, and I'm obviously not like a funny page per se, you know, like prepared, whatever. I have a personality, but like, it's just like, you never know what the algorithm is going to do for you. That's why I'm just like, you got to be consistently posting. And I'm not mm-hmm. the best by means, but like, finding a way to like put your art out there without being like, I don't know. You got to be your best friend. You got to, mm-hmm. you got to promote yourself and be like every day. And that's the job. That's the job part of mm-hmm. this, you know?
Yeah. And I could actually relate to that pretty well from just what, with Ray's Rowdy, because like, honestly, like like Matt, who's a co-owner of Ray's Rowdy, he's a fucking wizard when it comes to like the algorithm, all that.
Yeah.
And, he tells me all the time stuff that makes no sense to me. I do it anyway because he knows more than me about it. He's like if I put a clip out from an interview, it's like, all right, next time make the caption like one sentence. I'm like, all right, sure, I guess. Like if that works, and like they have the collabing now, like you have like collabing with other art. Well, that's kind of an obvious one because you get more views and like, I'm putting like memes out every damn day. It's like, which I'm not complaining by any means. I love it, but it's like, you know, but that's what you got to do.
It's the job. And it's like, that's where we're at right now as creatives. Like that's where, you know, I mean, fuck, really in any fucking business, you know, but it's just like at the same time, I mean, I see it more in the entertainment business than anywhere else, you know, it's just like, fuck man, like it's a grind, and like sometimes you're just sitting out there and it's like the light bulb is out, And it's like, yeah. I don't have the space to like I'm literally on my phone, like, what the fuck do I say? Like,
yes.
At the end of the day, I'll literally just put my phone down and be like, oh, I forgot to post. Fuck. You know? And it's just like, and it's like, some people are like, oh, it takes 2 seconds. Just post. It's like, no, it takes an hour or 2 hours to like actually come up with something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then you're just like, I don't know. So at this point, you're just like throwing caution to the wind. I mean, that's what's so great about having Mitchell around the house. You know, he's, I feel like he's so great at that. And, and you know, I'm just like, babe, give me a caption. He's like, okay. It's just like, I feel so lucky.
I could see that. I could see him doing that. But it is funny because like I'd make I don't know, like 2 hours into like writing like an article or something, and like it posts and it's like you have like 3 likes, and then it's like I put out some stupid ass meme and then it gets like fucking like 3,000 likes. Like, it's like, it don't make sense to me. It's kind of like fuck, man. I write, like, that's what I like to do. And the memes are fun too, but it's like, whatever helps, I guess.
And it's crazy. But the thing is that like the more consistent you are, like, you know, it's the long game, you know? And it's just like, I mean, watching God, I mean, if anything, fuck, reading those articles, that makes me so happy. And like, always reminds me, okay, you're on the right path. Don't worry about it. Like, you know, so like, even like, it's just, I don't know. At least you make me like it.
Yeah. I feel like that's the thing. It's like the artists love it. Like, for sure. And that's the whole reason I do it. Like, I want to help the artists out, but it's like everyone else, like, you know, you know how it is when you're scrolling through like your feed. It's like you take a look and just keep scrolling. Some people, it's it's hit or miss.
People got like a nanosecond, like with their scrolls. It's just like I was on TikTok the other day, and like this little, I don't know if this is ever, are you scroll through TikTok ever?
Every once in a while, yeah.
But like there was like this like headspace thing that comes on. It's like, take a break from scrolling. And I thought to myself, I was like, I wonder how many scrolls I had to scroll through, or how many to scroll through to get to this point. Like, this is not okay.
Like,
and it's just like, I'm, you know, I'm guilty of it. Like, it's social media. It's like, if it was, I would strangle it. Like, people and I talk about it all the time, how like, I cannot wait to hand that off to somebody, you know, and be like, you know, but.
Right. Yeah, but I tell you what, and I'm not just like, I'm not kissing up to you guys, but like, you guys, like, honestly, like, you guys are like very good at it. Like, like, I want to talk about your guys' TikToks, all right? Like, a lot of these artists like are on TikTok because they feel like, it is a great tool for artists. Yeah. It's a great tool to like get your stuff out there. But a lot of them, God bless them, they just don't get it. They can't do it right. Like, they'll admit it. But like, you guys, like they're hilarious. Like, and you have the whole, like, the video game thing. I forget the name of the game.
Oh, but my God. Overcooked. Yes.
Like, I was scrolling through. I saw Mitchell Ferguson is live, and I clicked it, and I was watching it for like 3 hours. It's like, what?
So live again. We have not gone live on Overcooked in so long, but I couldn't believe. Yeah. I remember like we posted it at like 1 a.m. or something like that. And Mitchell was like, oh, I'll check it in the morning. He checked it in the morning. I remember him being like, babe, it's got like 300,000 views. And like, and it was just like, it was crazy to watch it blow up. And also like, man, the other day we got a package from the gamers from Overcooked, and they like sent like mugs and like, I don't know if you saw that video.
I saw it. Yeah.
It's so cool when you are like, damn, like, you know, I wonder if a lot of people went and downloaded that game because of Mitchell, you know, being hilarious, you know, but God, it's just a wild game. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's frustrating.
It's intense.
It's frustrating because, like, those TikToks do so well. And then it's just like, but I'm a musician. Like,
listen
to my music. Like, help me make. Like, it's just like, it's, man. Yeah.
it's kind of insane because I saw it when I was like seeing like, you know, like your music and your like TikToks and stuff. It's like you have two like different fan bases now that are like the TikTok ones are huge too. Like, you know what I mean? Like it's cool. Like, do you ever think like, okay, guys, like that's really cool. Like you kind of said it there. Like I'm a musician. Like it's cool. You like the Overcooked stuff, but like check my music out. Do you guys try to like mix that together at all?
Well, and it's funny because like again, like these are just learning curves that you don't even think about. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like when my video, that Wink video, blew up on Instagram, I think it had like 15 million views at this time, right? And I was like, oh my God, I need to like post or pin a comment that, you know, shows that I'm a musician. Yeah. And because I did that, a lot of people flocked to me and I did get a lot of spins. I got people messaging me being like, hey, I just checked your music out. Like I was here for the funny video, but now I really enjoy your music. And it's not like, I mean, you know, out of the 20 million people that maybe hearted it and then scrolled, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? Or the whatever, how many people actually watched it, you know, you maybe get like, you know, 50 to 200 people that actually go and like stream your music, you know, out of something funny that is completely irrelevant to music. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But even if it's just one, you know what I mean? It's like at least that transferred, you know?
Right.
So, and I get it on my TikTok video too a lot. And with Mitchell too, you know, I see him, I see people being like, you know, saw you at the Overcooked video, stayed for the music, you know? And it's like,
that doesn't feel good.
As long as you can get it to pass over, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's hard though.
Yeah. Well, I think like you guys have the right personality for it because like it was, like they, like some of that stuff is like literally like laugh out loud. Like, but yeah, it's awesome to see though, like the success from it. Let's talk about what you got to come. Do you have any like music down the pipe that's about to come out or anything in mind?
So we recorded a cover that I cannot say yet. But
okay.
Recorded a cover that we're going to have coming out, which I'm really excited about. We're actually going to shoot a video for it this weekend. And then we shot a music video for Happier Now, which I'm really excited about sharing. I think it just looks absolutely stellar. So that'll probably come out around May, like third week of May. And then I'm going to be releasing another single probably in June. So yeah, I think we're going to do either an EP or a full record. I'm still deciding because I don't know if I want to take all the music that we released and just kind of put it into the record or just, you know, I don't know what I want to do yet with all that. And plus I'm writing like crazy right now. So I don't know. We might just have all, you know, 13 new songs come into play, but we'll see.
Yeah.
So, but nice. This year is going to be full of release after release after release after release. So.
Yeah. Got a big year ahead of you. It sounds like, is there like, cause like a lot of, when, with these new releases, is there anything like new you're wanting to try out, whether it be like a certain sound or like anything like that? Or are you just like, I want to do like what I've been doing, which is great. Like you were talking about earlier, like with like the cool dance, like pop kind of sound, I think you pulled that off great. Like that's something like, I don't like a lot of pop music, like, you know, you play at the clubs and stuff, but like, it's like, it gets really like monotonous and like, like that kind of shit.
Yeah.
But no, like, you know, it's cool to like, and a lot of that stuff that you hear like on the radio is very like lyrically and like when it comes to like the structure of it, it's kind of empty, you know, like it's fun to dance to, but it's cool that you put together like a great artistic thing, like that element to it, but also have it like the pop aspect. You know what I mean? I don't know if that made any sense.
No, but. Yeah. Yeah, no, I definitely want to like dabble around with different sounds and like, you know, I definitely want to, I've been trying to find the right DJ to remix some music that we have. But again, that's like going into like more of the dancey stuff. But yeah, I am like super open to just experimenting. I know that we have a song that we're working on right now. We're going to have a full orchestra come in and cut it, which it's going to be super dope. I'm super excited about that. But yeah, I think for me, when I write a song, I'm like, what does this song want? What is this song? What's going to make this song, you know, really come to life? And so with me, like there, I don't feel like there's limits, right? Like if I want to throw a fucking steel in my song, we're throwing a fucking steel in there. If we're, you know, if we're throwing an 808, like we're throwing an 808 in there, you know what I mean? So it's like, I think like I'm just all about the feels, and I want to, you know, I want to make people feel something, you know?
Yeah.
And I think it's cool when people, I definitely have had people talk to me about like, hey, like I listened to the song and then I went back and read your lyrics and, you know, asked me what I've written them about, which is kind of like, oh gosh, like, you know? Like, it's like, oh no, like I'm about to open up my fucking, that when people ask what I write my songs about, that is like cutting my heart open and like throwing it on the ground. And I'm like, okay, like, here we go. Like,
is it uncomfortable to talk about, like, or like, is it just hard to open up or what?
Yeah, I think it's like all of that. Yeah. I think it's all of that because but you know, it is refreshing when you talk to people about it and they're like, man, like, you know, you really helped me through a breakup, or you really helped, you know, listening to your music really helped me through this or this, or I can relate, you know? Yeah. And, but yeah, but then sometimes also the secrecy of like, I think that's what's so beautiful about lyricism is that like, you know, people can kind of put it in, you can take that and be like, oh, this is what's going on in my life. And this reads really well to me right now. And whether it's like, I had like, there's no way that I ever wrote that about that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. Like they interpret it like their own way and it still makes perfect sense.
Thank you. See, I don't.
My words. No, I know what you mean.
I am the worst at words. I'm like,
oh, me too. I mumble. Like I talk on here, and I'm like, wait a minute. I have a little timer down here, and sometimes I'm trying to make a point, and I'm like, I've been talking for fucking 3 minutes, and nothing. I haven't even got my point across yet.
Sometimes I'm just like, I will probably get dementia when I'm old. Because what the fuck?
Yeah.
Like that's what I meant to say. But who cares?
Who cares?
I sing and I write and, you know, talking ain't my stronghold, but we're here.
Yeah, me neither. It's like, why did I start a podcast when I'm the worst at talking, like, in the world?
When you listen back on this, you're like, oh, thank God. You just love hearing, like, people just chat about something real, you know? And like, I'm a fucking idiot, whatever.
You get what you get when you listen to this, but whatever. But you were talking about like you wanted to try like different stuff and all that. Like that's cool. And it just reminded me, and here I go again rambling, but I was watching recently have you seen the Beatles Get Back like documentary by chance?
I need to watch that.
Yeah. So like it's really cool because like, I think the coolest thing about it, like they did Maxwell Silverhammer, you know, like that song off Abbey Road. And they're like, Paul McCartney's like, oh yeah, let's bring an anvil in. And they brought an anvil in and they got like the ding ding on the song and everything. Yeah. And it's like that kind of thing. Like that's what separates, I think, like artistry from like following a formula. You know what I mean? Do you ever like that? That's a real cool way to go about it. I think
Mitchell just walked out. man, I love getting sounds like that for sure. There's a song, oh God, what is it that we did that on? I think it was In the Stars. I'm going to have to go back on that. But one of the songs we recorded, Nate, the percussionist drummer, you know, on all of the stuff. He came in with a wine glass and was like filling it up to that perfect, you know, note to try to hit it and get that, you know. And it's just, it's fun, like picking up things around and being like, what do these sounds make? But, you know, I'm going to have to see if Michael wants to bring in an anvil. That's not a good idea.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Try it. It might work. But,
Yeah, I love doing that. Wherever sounds you can find. We did this. I went out to Arizona with my sister. We made these drums, like Native American, like real like buffalo skin drums. And like, it's really cool, the sound that comes from them. And it changes always with the temperature. And so wanting to use that in some of our songs and, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go crazy. Just see what you could pick up. Yeah. That's awesome. So what do you got in the upcoming months and everything? What do you got with like shows and everything? Got anything cool coming up?
Yeah. So actually we just have Wildflower Festival coming up, which I'm really excited about. Again, we're going to be pretty much directly supporting Saint Motel and then Group Love, which is massive. And I'm super, super excited about just sharing the stage with artists like that. But other than that, I think we're kind of crossing our fingers about Americana Fest. So hopefully that, I know that we submitted for that. But yeah, I'm just kind of in the process for submitting more. But right now that's really the only show that we have coming up.
Okay. That's exciting though. That's very exciting.
Yeah. Exciting. I'm stoked.
Yeah. So, Karina, thanks for hopping on. That was a fun conversation. If you have any plugs, social media, anything, floor is yours if you want to put that out there.
What do you mean plugs on social? Oh, like my
just like media. Music, social media, anything like that.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you can, you know, KarinaGrove.com is my website, you know, and then Spotify, Apple Music, you know, you can find me anywhere, everywhere. You know, I've been doing the YouTube Shorts recently, so you can find me on the YouTube Shorts and.
Awesome.
Give it away. check it out.
Yeah.
And yeah, awesome. We're going to be releasing new stuff. So I'm really stoked about it.
Yep. And we'll keep an eye out on that. And everyone listening, go give Karina a follow. And also, while you're at it, go check out Ray's Rowdy, Rowdy Alternative. We're on all the socials. Apple Podcasts and Spotify. So thanks for listening, everyone, and we'll see you next time.